We live in a fantasy world now. Reality has been destroyed.
This is the time that we really need to pay attention.
The probabilities are overwhelmingly on gold's side.
That is the best environment to see gold increase its value.
Welcome to Palisades Gold Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrix. Joining me today is Tom Coughlin, CEO of Kinesis Money. Tom, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Tom. And thanks to your audience for tuning in as well.
It's great to have you. And hopefully our audience doesn't get the two Toms with the same haircut mixed up. But thankfully, you have a bit of an accent and more of a beard than I do. So hopefully we can keep it straight.
No, totally. You got to grow it a little bit longer.
I don't know if I have so much gray there yet, but that'll speak towards your experience, true. Right?
That's what I say anyway.
Perfect. So Tom, why don't you explain to us the problem that you kind of saw and tried to solve with Kinesis?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an evolutionary story with regards to our history, our background. Kinesis was born out of the team at ABX, the Allocated Bullion Exchange, which, rewinding 11 years now, was founded in 2010, which came out of my experience in financial services as a hedge fund manager as well, in trying to actually invest in institutional levels of physical precious metals. At the time, there wasn't any real efficient or secure facility to be able to do so. You had some of these unallocated certificates, you had ETFs, those kind of products around back in those days. But back in those days as well, if you remember, we're in the middle of a global financial crisis. Europe was falling over, credit markets were seizing, and basically counterparty risk was extremely important at the time. So we looked to build out a facility which mitigated counterparty risk as much as possible. And the way of doing that is providing ownership, allocated title to the ultimate beneficial owner, basically the end holder of the metal. So, and we wanted to do it at an institutional level. So that's really why, you know, ABX was founded, and that started the global journey for us in the precious metals industry, in the precious metals market. And that resulted in, you know, travel around the world, meeting all the usual suspects in the industry, from actually even the central bankers to, the bullion banks, first, second tier, down to, you know, the trading houses and the bullion dealers around the world. Lots of meetings, lots of market intelligence gathered. And anyway, from that point, you know, we were building out ABX, and as the blockchain emerged, we were keeping a really close eye on that, because we saw, you know, what that technology was doing in providing the ability for people all over the world to transact in a decentralized digital system, something that could be married up against gold, you know, the oldest and the greatest store of value, and silver, of course, and brought into the blockchain, whereby, you know, you've got an efficient medium of exchange where people can, you know, connect digitally, transfer value digitally all over the world. So I guess Kinesis was born to further realize our vision that we had, as, you know, gold and silver being sound money, being the money for the people, where there's no debt attached to it or counterparty risk, and, you know, basically bringing the power into the hands of the people. And, you know, we focused in on what would actually make that successful and sustainable. And, you know, one really important thing that we looked at, and I think as I was saying before we joined the call, I see myself as a little bit of a monetary historian. Well, to embark on this journey, you know, have to have a lot of passion behind it. and I dedicated, you know, my soul, and my team dedicated their souls to it as well. And one really important challenge that we saw ourselves having to overcome, and it's something that has held gold back since it's been freely traded, is Gresham's Law, a principle called Gresham's Law. Bad money drives out good. People who value gold and want to hold gold, they're exchanging their fiat currency for gold. So they value gold higher. So why would they want to use it as a payment currency? And typically they don't. They want to use their paper currency as a payment currency because they value it less. So we tried to, you know, we tried to formulate like an incentive program around actually bringing money velocity to a gold and silver backed monetary system that would get it moving. And, you know, so we built out a yield system to do that. And, you know, these yields are both passive and active, and it's all designed to, one, attract capital into the system, and two, get it moving through the system. So we overlaid this yield system on top of those two key attributes, I think, you know, effective store of value and efficient medium of exchange. And now with, you know, I consider it like a supercharging of, you know, the value proposition that we actually provide being this yield system, which stimulates money velocity in the system. So yeah, that's, I probably did, went on a little bit too long there, but you know, really what the core foundation of our vision behind all of this is to, you know, preserve the freedoms and the liberties of the people, give the power to the people, but also allow them to enjoy in the collective success of the system as well. So we individually reward participation and performance within the system, but people will enjoy the collective success of the system as we organically grow as well. And we're just starting to catch fire now. We've sort of been flying a little bit stealth as we continue to put our foundational building blocks together. But now we're coming out into the wilderness, and you know, that's why we're talking today, I guess.
Absolutely. So why don't we kind of drill down a little bit onto how one would start to use the system? Would you have to start by depositing gold or silver, fiat, cryptocurrencies? How do you start by actually, let's say, what's the first step in using the Kinesis program?
Well, the very first step would actually be to sign up for an account. You know, there's a few different steps there. One, you can sign up just in a very light way, you know, basically email address, and that gives you certain privileges, like you can access the crypto markets and a few traded products there, but you can't touch the fiat system. As soon as you touch the fiat system, then you have to be KYC'd. So the next step is to KYC. We've made that as simple a sort of process as possible. Selfie, you know, a photo of your driver's license or passport. And then your account will be basically fully enabled. We have a debit card program. At the moment, there's a global virtual debit card. So, you know, anyone in the world that's outside of sanctioned countries can sign up for a global virtual debit card. We have a US debit card program running at the moment, and we're not too far away from a UK and Europe program as well. And so you can basically, what the debit cards do is close the loop in the monetary system, whereby someone can actually create their own gold or silver money and actually then use it for everyday payments. So yeah, that's really the process there of getting an account open. It's not difficult at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just sort of steps you through a bit of a easy process.
Excellent. So Tom, how do you begin to, let's say, use the system? I know there's a couple different tokens that you have, but why don't we start by how you transfer, let's say, assets into the system to be able to start spending them on that debit or credit card?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so you can send a number of different cryptocurrencies in, Bitcoin, ETH, at the moment, USDT, and we're expanding those out to basically be all the majors. You can also send fiat currency in as well. So US dollars, and that's the currency that we accept currently. But, you know, in the very near future, it'll be a range of different major currencies that you can send in. From that point, you can basically, you know, effectively buy gold or silver and then start using it as a currency.
Interesting. So how does that work, Tom? Do you, once you, let's say, buy gold or silver in the system, is it stored as an allocated title? Is it segregated? Is it a pooled type system? How does that part work?
Yes. Yeah, so, there is it's allocated and pooled currently. And actually, I didn't mention just before, you can go through the process. You have to step through the steps in our quality assurance framework to bring metal in the system. So if someone is holding gold or silver and it meets our like specifications, mm-hmm. then it can be brought into the system. It has to be, you know, verified and go through the relevant quality assurance steps, but it can be brought into the system. Our pool, it's allocated title, so legally allocated to the ultimate beneficial owner, the end user, but it's part of a collective pool of metal. But saying that, we have recently developed a facility which we'll be announcing to the market, which allows users to hold their unique bars and coins in our system on a segregated operational basis. So their bars and coins will be segregated within the system. KAU or KAG will be created off the back of that, and they can use it as a form of money. There's some very unique rules around how this all works, but ultimately it does monetize their physical bars and coins, and should they wish to withdraw them out in the future, they just get back their exact bars and coins in the exact box and packaging that they actually deposited in with. But there's more information that's coming to market on this very shortly.
Interesting. So once you have, let's say, your asset, whatever currency or money you're transferring into the system, and you buy your KAG or KAU tokens, is that basically now your balance that you can use on the debit card, or how do you go about using that that balance, Tom?
So yeah, once you buy KAU and KAG, the way that it has to work with our Visa card at the moment, at the time when you transfer it to the debit card, it does like initiate a sell on our exchange, on our digital exchange. And then it just tops up in US dollars the balance onto the debit card. Now, with both MasterCard and Visa making moves to begin accepting digital currencies, they want to be the intermediary, right? Just like they are in the fiat world. But they will begin accepting digital currencies, and they will begin accepting KAU and KAG as well. This is a project that's underway right now. And so there will be the ability to directly top up your card with KAU and KAG and be able to use it. That's not available right now, but it is coming in the future. And there'll also be the ability for merchants to accept like KAU and KAG as a form of payment as well. So where merchants will accept that form of currency, there's no conversion that needs to be applied. But at this point in time, yeah, there's a necessary transaction in there to convert back to US dollars to top it up. But our system does it all in the back end. So, you know, what the user actually sees is just the topping up of their US dollar equivalent of metal into their card.
Yeah. Excellent. So how many users do you guys currently have, and how much gold and silver is stored in Kinesis Vault?
Okay, that I'll have to actually look up, to be honest. But from what I understand, I think we have around 70,000 active users currently. And, you know, I still consider us in our infancy phase, and that's growing quite rapidly. And, you know, the volumes are really accelerating as well. As far as metal in the vaults, I believe it's around, I think we have over a million ounces of silver in there. And I'd actually have to log in to have a look.
Yep,
I think it's like 1.2 or 1.3 million ounces of silver in there. And that's going up quite rapidly. And actually, you caught me out a little bit on the gold, but call it, you know, $20 million or something like that of gold. So it could be $25 million of gold. So, you know, we're still in the early stages, and, you know, we'll be looking to, you know, increase that dramatically over the next little while.
So, Tom, you and I talked a little bit before we hit record about how much you've thought about incentives in this program. So why don't you tell us how the yield system works and about the different types of yields that one can collect within the program?
Certainly. So the way that I see our system being successful is, one, we have to attract capital into the system, into the greater ecosystem that we're facilitating. The way I see us doing that is by providing a yield which is attractive enough to choose gold and silver over other investment assets. So if we look at mainstream investment assets, you know, most of them have a yield. These days, bank deposits, bonds, the yields could even be negative or very poor. But, you know, you have dividend yielding stocks, you have property investments that provide that yield. And if my view is, if we're going to really infiltrate the mainstream investment asset space, the yield is key for investment managers and for, you know, the average investor as well. Not everyone appreciates, you know, gold and silver like we do, or understand, you know, its history as sound money. And what it actually represents. So by doing that, I think it puts gold and silver on the map by providing a positive yield there. So one, we provide a passive yield for holding the metal in the system, and I'll explain how all this works in a second. But the second component that will make our monetary system successful is actually getting the money in the system moving. It's called money velocity. And to do that, we provide this active yield system whereby it incentivizes the use of like spending or like even selling or transferring the currency within the system. So like we have a minter's yield, which when you like mint the currency, it's basically, you know, buy the currency. And then once it is emitted down into your blockchain wallet, and once you send, spend, or sell it, then you actually begin to receive a yield on that. But you have to first send, spend, or sell it. So there's like a two-step process there. There's yields around, you know, there's just like a referrer's yield. We have another yield that's called a depositor's yield, which also, you know, it's active base yield, you know, on your initial deposit in the system. Once you send, spend, or sell it, then you'll receive a yield in perpetuity for life. Basically, the system recognizes what you've sent, spent, or sold after minting, and that entitlement will remain in the system forever. So if I send, spend, or mint, say, $50,000 of gold or silver, and then send, spend, or sell it, then that $50,000 entitlement remains there forever. As you know, the money goes from one hand to the next, to the next, to the next. The best way to sort of understand it is I get a cut of the the transaction fee as it passes through the system for life. We're also building out like what's called a spender's yield as well. It's another yield component that, you know, it's basically like a little rebate on you know, your transaction fees according to different volume thresholds. But the way that it works is there's no debt attached to this at all. That's not where the yield comes from. The yield has been how we're able to do this is actually because of the blockchain. The fees in the system, they get aggregated into what we call the master fee pool. So throughout a month of trading and transacting within the system, all the fees generated go off to the master fee pool. Now, at the end of the month, we distribute those fees to the different groups, the different participants in the system that are doing different things. So, you know, 15% goes off to the holders. There's like, and then there's a breakup for the other users in the system, 7.5% to the minters, and it's split up like that. And then, you know, it's proportionate towards each user's sort of participation within those subgroups. Seems a little bit complicated and it can take a little while to get your head around it all. But the best way I think to imagine it, it's like its own little economy where, and a government could use this, for example. And in fact, we have deals with governments, one in particular, which we're literally days away from launching, is the Indonesian government, a country of 280 million people. And we spent the last five years building out a parallel monetary system for them. And, you know, they'll be using the post office, et cetera. Anyway, I don't want to get distracted. The way to best imagine this is it's like a collective sharing of wealth, whereby instead of the fees, like say, for example, a bank charges, they take that revenue, they put it onto their balance sheet. It's like taking their clients' funds, charging them fees, and then just putting it in their pocket. We don't do that. We say, okay, look, we're creating a collective system here. The fees generated out of the system, they go off to this master fee pool, which everyone can sort of see tick up in real time. And then from there, at the end of each month, they're distributed. So the balance is wiped back to zero. Of course, Kinesis gets a share of that, but all the other participants in the system get a share of that as well in accordance with their participation, whether it be holding metal or whether it actually be transacting in the system. That's how it works. And, you know, it's designed to incentivize the use at the end of the day of gold and silver as money.
So as we've seen here, you've described a bunch of different yields. Where do the fees get pulled from to be able to pay all of these yields, Tom?
Yeah, a few different areas. One is the blockchain. So the blockchain's in use when you send it from, you know, one person to the next person, like peer-to-peer transfer. But to facilitate the overall system as well, we utilize two different platforms. One is our mint. So it's called the Kinesis Mint. And this is where the currencies are brought to life. Basically, you know, they will increase, the mint increases the money supply of the overall system. So someone can go in there, they can mint gold or silver. Now there's minimum product sizes there. There's contract sizes in there, just like an exchange, right? So I think the minimum size for silver is 200 ounces and the minimum size for gold is 100 ounces. And then what happens from there, you buy and it's emitted down to the blockchain wallet in the Kinesis Exchange. Now, the Kinesis Exchange is our like secondary exchange where you can trade our gold and silver currencies up against other fiat currencies, USD and Euro at the moment. We're about to bring online British Pound as well as a number of other cryptocurrencies, as I mentioned, Bitcoin, ETH, USDT. And you can trade it there. So there's fees in the mint, there's fees in the exchange, and there's blockchain fees. Now, but they're I guess it's worthwhile mentioning that they're very competitive. So trading on the Kinesis exchange is 22 basis points, so 0.22%. The blockchain fees for transferring it from, you know, peer to peer is 45 basis points, 0.45%. And it's the same at the mint, 0.45%. So, they're the fees in the system. That's where the fees come from, and those fees get sent off to the master fee pool.
So, as a merchant, let's say, as a business that would want to use this, that also provides a very competitive fee over using a credit card. Is that right?
So yeah, if the merchant accepts KAU or KAG, then yeah, it's certainly extremely competitive. And you know, they can just set up an account in our system and accept it as a form of currency. And it certainly beats, you know, the merchant fees. I've heard some of the card providers charging, you know, 7%, even up to 10% sometimes merchant fees to the merchant. That's like American Express. They typically charge more, but Visa, MasterCard, a bit less. But so we beat them hands down.
Interesting. So you have, I believe, three different kinds of tokens in this within the system, right? KAG, KAU, and KVT. So can you tell us about what the KVT token is? Let's say how many there are and what the use of that token is.
Sure. So the KVT is like our investment token. People can buy that, or currently they can earn it via minting within our system. We have this program called public minting offer going, whereby, you know, there's not many left, but for every $50,000 that you mint, you'll receive a token, and then we flip to a final offer of every $75,000 that you mint of KAU and KAG. You receive one KVT, but you can buy it on the exchange as well for $1,300 currently. And you know, in the coming months, they will become freely traded once we fully roll out our yield engine system, which isn't, you know, I guess it's, I need to notify your listeners that it's not rolled out yet. Our minter's yield is coming very, very shortly. Let's say, you know, within a month. But it's not rolled out currently. So they won't immediately enjoy the benefits of the yield system, but soon they will. KAU is gold. It's just, you know, K in front of it because we're Kinesis. And KAG is silver. So they're our like ticker code. So KVT stands for Kinesis Velocity Token. Velocity because they will benefit from the more velocity that comes out of the system. And they basically, the velocity tokens in total receive 20% of the transactional revenue out of the system, top line revenue. And then it's proportionally shared between 300,000 KVTs that are basically in circulation. It can't go beyond that. That's the set figure that's out there. That's pretty much the way that it works.
Interesting. So, Tom, tell us a bit about the connection to the Indonesian government and the strategy with the post office. You mentioned it there earlier, and I'd like to kind of explore that story with you a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So our work with the Indonesian government and the post office and the exchanges there in Indonesia and also the major merchants in Indonesia as well, and they got a very... you know, they have a lot of very specific national merchants there. You know, instead of Uber, they have their own businesses there, like GoGet and these other ones that are very specific to Indonesia. So basically, you know, the Indonesian post office, there's 58,500 branches within Indonesia, and Indonesia, it's quite a diverse place, lots of islands, but also a huge sort of unbanked and underbanked population, a big sort of a big population that lives in the rural setting. And so I think in total, like the unbanked and underbanked percentage of the population is 78%. So the post office is really the cornerstone of the banking and payment industry within Indonesia. People are using the post office to pay their utility bills and pay their bills. And at the moment, there's a lot of inefficiencies, you know, physical cash is being used. So people actually, you know, making their way to the post office and paying in physical cash. And what we've worked through with the post office is to build out a payment system for them using gold, whereby everyone using the post office can use a Kinesis powered application. It's got all the Indonesian branding on it, the post office branding. We've worked through it with them and our Indonesian partners. To build this application, at the end of the day, it interfaces into the ABX and also Kinesis. So we provide that facility that way. And then we've partnered with the exchanges there in Indonesia, JFX and IDX, which like the commodity and FX exchanges there in Indonesia. We've had to work with the banks there as well. So anyone who signs up for an account there in Indonesia, they also get, you know, a fiat bank account and these sort of things as well. But it's a real sort of ecosystem and a parallel monetary system that's actually been built out within Indonesia. It's quite a significant public-private partnership, as it's called. So we're a private enterprise. We've partnered up with, you know, the government and government-owned organizations within the country to bring this to life. The 16th of April, it will actually be announced through a press conference with all the media going there. And then in early May, there's a big sort of official opening ceremony. I believe the vice president will be opening it and, you know, other key ministers within the country, including the Minister for State-Owned Enterprises. So the Indonesian, it's registered as a project of national importance. So the Indonesians are taking it very seriously. It's, I guess it could be a little considered to be a little bit of a threat for the central bank in the region. But, you know, this is something that's been pushed forward by the government. And we've worked extensively with them. There were some delays with COVID-19, and but we've overcome those challenges, and we're on the home stretch as far as truly launching that project. It's been in testing, you know, it's with internal employees of the post office there, and now it's coming out, it's being unveiled and announced to the general public that this is launching. And we've got it's worthwhile stating as well that we've got a number of other post offices and I guess governments, nations in the region that are lined up to come on after this project as well. And the whole idea is to actually connect up post offices so there can then be cross-border remittances done. Indonesia has a large migrant worker population that goes into the Middle East or wherever, and sending their paychecks back home to Indonesia. So, you know, they might be using Western Union, which charges, you know, extraordinary fees, or MoneyGram, or these, you know, remittance agents to do so. So that's another market that will be infiltrating as the network expands.
And this really kind of brings to light the good use case for the, let's say, the Kinesis system for the, as you were mentioning, the unbanked. So tell us more about how that really provides a system of exchange for the people that aren't even in the banking system yet?
Yeah, so it's, you know, to sign up for an account with us, you just need to do regular KYC. So if someone has a driver's license or a passport or a national identity card, then they can effectively sign up for an account. It's cost effective, it's efficient, and they can, through, you know, opening an account with us, they can gain that financial access, which they've been deprived of. Instead of, I guess the banks just don't want to deal with a lot of these individuals, and it's difficult for them to build out a bank account. They might not be registered on any credit systems, or, you know, and for whatever reason, the banks just don't allow them to sign up for an account. And, you know, regardless anyway, I think the banks would probably find a way to exploit them one way or the other. So we're trying to provide that sort of fair, honest system that is cost effective, that provides that financial access, and will also, you know, provide some rewards to them as well. As I mentioned, through a certain activity that they do within the system. That's how it does it. So you know, we offer a system that, one, provides value to the underprivileged people in our society, but also, you know, it might be the privileged people as well. The high net worths, the ultra high net worths, can also gain a lot of value out of our system. A lot of, you know, wealthy people are holding value in precious metals, gold or silver, storing it around the world, and we can provide value to them as well.
Excellent. So, what does the roadmap for the next year look like for Kinesis, Tom?
So the roadmap, the way this year, 2021, is going to be a big year for us. So far, it's been a year of exponential growth, and I have confidence that that will continue. We're still in a developmental phase where we're still laying our sort of core foundations, our pillars. And by the end of the year, all of our core foundations will be together. So we're fully launching our yield engine. We'll have debit card and digital fiat currency systems coming online through UK and Europe, and that'll be rolling into, you know, Asia and Latin America and Africa, the Middle East. We'll be, you know, bringing online new systems to enable people to, one, you know, there's a, you know, we're sort of looking at this in a transitionary way of, okay, right now we have an incumbent fiat banking system. So instead of completely neglecting that, we're looking for, you know, to build out the piping and plumbing into it. So, you know, companies and businesses can use our system for their everyday corporate banking. And, you know, our view is, well, if we just provide incentives over and above the existing system and, you know, greater rewards over and above the existing system, then we can actually channel people into gold and silver currencies, KAU and KAG, just by, you know, providing them the full banking solution, but with gold and silver being there, and for them to get benefits over and above what they currently have with the existing systems that they have. So we're wrapping together a broader banking and payment ecosystem here, with gold and silver as the, you know, the cornerstone primary currencies. At the end of the day, it's my view that, you know, gold and silver are actually the fixed constants, and the other currencies in the world actually revolve around them. So, you know, our system will be highlighting this, I think, to a large extent. By the end of the year, full yield system rolled out. We'll have some really great partner integrations as well into businesses in different respective industries, in, you know, the trading platform space, in the FX space, in the cryptocurrency space, into financial advising space. And basically, you know, it's a focus of us to be integrating into different platforms that might already have, you know, millions of existing users. And so that's a big component, and we'll see lots of launches throughout the course of this year. And then obviously, as I mentioned as well, putting together all the pieces to be able to provide an extremely valuable banking and payment solution as well.
So with the KVT token, Tom, is that going to be, let's say, available to be traded on other exchanges other than yours? Or do you foresee that basically just being held by the people, the, let's say, legacy people that that have them in the beginning of the system because of that yield?
No, we will be launching KVT on a number of other exchanges as well. We're going through the process of listing KAU and KAG on 7 or 8 other exchanges at the moment. And after that's completed, then, you know, the KVT will also be integrated. And what that will do is open up accessibility, obviously, to KVT holders and bring in, you know, a new, fresh batch of KVT investors, and also hopefully increase demand for it. I mean, ultimately, the demand's going to be driven in, I think, to the KVT through the success of the system. And the success of the system will then yield the benefit of paying out yields, because the KVT, at the end of each month, KVT holders get distributed a yield, which are the transaction fees that are derived. And it's distributed in KAU, so that's where the yield comes from for the KVT. So people will actually earn their benefits, their yields in gold.
So you were saying that there's only ever going to be 300,000 KVT, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
that's hard coded into the blockchain.
And then does the KAU and KAG grow with the system as more is minted?
Yeah, so for KAU and KAG, they're using two different blockchain protocols first. So KVT is on the Ethereum network, and, you know, it's hard-coded contract where there's only 300,000 available. KAU and KAG, we used a different blockchain network that we think is more suited towards powering a monetary system, which is the Stellar network. So we forked Stellar. And, you know, that has a highly efficient network that concurrently for each blockchain instance process, you know, approximately 10,000 transactions a second. Settlement times are 3 to 5 seconds. These kind of numbers. We don't have these kind of numbers going through our system at the moment, but, you know, there's a great deal of scalability provided there with those two others. And with that as well, it's open-ended as far as how many outstanding, you know, KAU or KAG contracts, and that can go up and down. If someone was to redeem metal, like take delivery of metal, and they're very, you know, welcome and encouraged to even do that, test out our physical handling mechanics, right, and take delivery of it, we'll send them metal. Because it's in our different like vaults in different regions around the world, and we'll find the most cost-effective solution to be able to send them the metal. But if they do that, then that burns that redemption burns the KAU or KAG contracts within the system.
Perfect. And something you touched on there that I kind of forgot to mention, you can actually take physical delivery of gold and silver out of the system too, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's some minimum delivery sizes. So for gold, once again, that's the 100 gram. And for silver, it's the 200 ounce. And, you know, if you reach that level, then you're welcome to take physical delivery out of the system. And from what I understand, certainly at the moment, it's very cost effective. We've had a big focus on diversifying across the supply chain. We're operating a precious metals group, and it's diversified across the supply chain, actually, even with mining investments to smelting and minting capabilities as well, with the facility to vaulting facilities and these sort of things. We've been diversifying our supply chain. So, you know, we can't be caught like with supply constraints, let's put it that way. And what we've built out has resulted in us being able to effectively source metal cost effectively and benefit from that on a global scale to be able to deliver cost effective pricing to our users.
Excellent, Tom. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the system or in general as we wrap up here?
No, I'd encourage your listeners to sign up and test it out. I'd also remind them that, you know, we're still building things out. It's I think that we've got quite a valuable solution right now that's really suited to the precious metals industry. And as we build things out, you know, our solution will keep on growing in value. And it's a real focus of ours to deliver value to our users. And but, you know, and if they've got any feedback on anything, we'll take that feedback. We'll, you know, we're at the stage where we can, you know, still factor it into the build out. But we're currently, you know, 3 years in the making. A lot of development has already gone into it, and we're on, you know, an accelerated development pace. So it's we're still in our infancy, where our adoption is, you know, still it's still early stage, but we're growing and we're growing fast. Every month seems to be, you know, we're looking at exponential growth now. So it's exciting times that, you know, we're taking fire we're catching fire and really building momentum. I look forward to, you know, building more momentum, and would love for your listeners to sort of be part of our journey as well. We hope we can actually make a little bit of a difference. See ourselves as sort of part of the good guys that are pushing back against, you know, call it controlling entities or organizations that are seem to be striving to strip away our freedoms and our liberties. And I think it takes people like you and what we're doing here at Kinesis as well to push back and, you know, one, to broadcast the message, and two, to actually practically and pragmatically do something about the problem as well. So we're trying to build out a solution to an existing problem that's there. And would love for, you know, everyone to get involved. I thank you very much for your time and having me on as a guest.
Thank you, Tom, for your time. And of course, we can find more from you on Twitter, and we'll have obviously the links to kinesis.money in the show notes as well. Tom, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tom.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.